Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Live. I'm Aaron Moret, along with Michael Moret, and today we are continuing our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John. Today we're in John chapter 15, and we'll be picking things up in verse 16 today. And how are you doing, Dad?
Good, but I think you made a mistake. We're in John chapter 14, aren't we?
15.
Oh, we are. Okay. John chapter 15, verse 14, verse 16.
We were in 14 like 2 months ago.
Okay.
So I understand your confusion.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was talking to somebody this morning about our program together, and they thought it was kind of a neat thing. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, I never know what Aaron's going to say, and he doesn't know what I'm going to say. I said, we both study, but we don't know what each other is going to say, and we just kind of go at it here. And they thought it was neat, and I said, well, yeah, it's just kind of a natural extension because we have always had conversations and talked about the Word of God like this from the time that you were really little. And basically what we're doing, maybe a little more formal, but not too much, we're putting a microphone in front of us and just letting others tune in, if they wish to our conversation about the Bible and Jesus and the Word of God. And hopefully everybody is blessed and fed. And again, we'll get into the Word of God right now after prayer. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 16. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think I'm going to begin reading in verse 15, where Jesus says, henceforth, he's talking to his apostles, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's read verse 17 too. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And so, if you are a Christian, it is only because you were handpicked by God long before you were born. That's what Jesus said here in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we know from other scripture, that's before we were even born. It's God's choice. God chose you and me, if you're a Christian. And think about this, he did that all before even though he knew all about all the sins that we would commit before we were saved and after we're saved. So he still chose us. You know, he's not taken by surprise by any of the sins that we commit as Christians. And I'm not making light of sin. Sin is terrible, and if you're a Christian, you hate it. But nevertheless, God knew all about the sins that we would commit even after receiving Christ, and yet he still chose us. Now, if that doesn't stir our souls to live for Jesus, then I don't think anything possibly could.
And the thing is, some people look at that and say, well, gosh, I'm not a Christian. I don't belong to Jesus. So therefore, you know, I guess God didn't choose me. Well, you can't look at things that way. You can't look at things that way because Jesus said that, and the Bible teaches that anyone who believes can be saved. So just because you're not a Christian right now, don't sit there and say, well, I could never be saved. That's what Satan wants you to believe, is that, well, I could never be saved. God just didn't choose me. Look, if you're listening right now and you want to be saved by Jesus, you want him as your Lord and your Savior, and you turn away from your sins and you turn to Jesus for that, you're going to get it. And then guess what? This scripture applies to you. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Like you were just talking about, Jesus chose you. Everyone who is saved was chosen by Jesus. But if you're not saved right now, it does not mean that you weren't chosen. And hopefully that makes sense.
It makes sense. And the scripture verse that stands out to me is the one that says, whosoever will may come. So it's true that God, if you're saved, it's because God chose you before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. But the Bible also says, whosoever will may come. So God chooses those who choose him. And if some people might say, well, that eliminates the sovereignty of God. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, because he has sovereignly chosen to work through our free will. And but that's an important thing that you're bringing out, is that not only are we chosen by God, but also we all have the choice.
You know, verse 17, you had read that. Jesus says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." And just looking at this verse, God commands us to love one another. As Christians, we should love one another. And, of course, Jesus also tells us to love our enemies. But just talking about Christians loving each other here, I mean, because Jesus is talking to his apostles here, right?
Right.
And he's telling them, love one another.
Yes.
It's important to have your fellow Christians back, because it's a struggle in this world to be a Christian. The system of Satan is against you. The system of man is against you. The system of sin is against you. You should be treating your fellow Christians with dignity and respect, and having their back, because they're saved by Jesus just like you are, and they're his temple here on earth. And they're also a part of your body, the body of Christ, which if you're a Christian, you're a part of. And they're a part of that body with you. And everyone needs encouragement from somewhere. Christians need to come together in a world and against Satan and sin that is against Jesus. Christians need to have each other's back.
Yeah, and that's all included in that, in this command that you love one another. It doesn't even necessarily mean, it doesn't mean that you have to have good warm feelings about your fellow Christian. You know, it's what you're talking about. Doing what is in the best interest of other Christians as well. And that is a, that is, as you say, having each other's back.
Right. And there's a lot of, there's so many, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be the case. You look around at different Christians who have some different beliefs in some areas, and there's so much politics that go on inside of the church that should not go on between different denominations and people with different views and whatever. Like, if your view on something is a little bit different than someone else on an issue that is not relevant to your salvation or about Jesus and just things that you need to be dogmatic about, there's too much politics that go on, and people cut themselves off from other good, well-meaning Christians just because they don't see eye to eye on something. And that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen, because all that matters if you're a Christian is that you can agree that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's 100% human, 100% man, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, sins that you needed to be forgiven so that you can be right with God, and that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, and that if you receive him and repent from your sins and turn to him, you're saved. If you have that in common with someone else, don't play politics on other issues, like, for example, like the rapture.
Right.
Or something. What about a topic like creation?
Yeah, right. I mean, and I have strong views about creation, that it's literal 6 days, but I wouldn't break fellowship with another Christian over if they disagree me with me on that and think that somehow each one of those days were ages or thousands of years. I don't get it. I don't think there's any justification for believing that at all. But the things that you pointed out, those are the deal breakers. You know, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is 100% man. Jesus is 100% God. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. You receive
virgin
him.
Virgin born.
Virgin birth. The second coming of Christ. The literal second coming of Christ. The literal physical resurrection of Christ. Eternal hell, eternal heaven, depending on what you have done with Christ. I mean, these are all deal breakers, but there are so many peripheral issues that we shouldn't break fellowship, have honest disagreements, but don't break fellowship over these things. That's been my opinion, and I think that's biblical. That there is room, there is gray area, obviously, in a lot of things that well-meaning Christians who love the Word of God and love Jesus have an honest disagreement over. That tells me that God has not made those things as crystal clear as he has, for example, the virgin birth, or salvation by faith, or the second coming of Christ, or hell, or heaven. Those are all crystal clear. Anyone who's really a Christian and believes the Bible believes in those things. But You know, some people believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Some people do not. You know, why? Because it's just not that clear. Well, it is clear to me. It's perfectly clear.
But it doesn't. It doesn't.
Now that I think of it.
You're right. It is clear, but the Bible does not come out and say there is a pre-tribulation rapture, and the Bible does not come out and say there is not a pre-tribulation rapture. You can certainly draw conclusions.
I've drawn the right one.
Right, but what we're saying is it's something that's not spelled out clearly in Scripture. Well, it's not said. Right there, the virgin shall be with child. Boom, Jesus is virgin born. It says that.
Right.
It says that. And so, but even the rapture thing, even if you don't want to, even if you're not willing to bend on that has nothing to do with salvation or with Jesus.
And I still wouldn't break fellowship with somebody who disagrees with me. If they want to be wrong, that's fine. I mean, that's their business. If they want to be wrong about that subject instead of agreeing with me, you know.
Right. It's not relevant to fellowship.
No.
At least, but it is to some people, but it shouldn't be.
But
it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. But anyway, this all stems from verse 17. These things I command you that ye love one another. And there's a lot of unloving stuff over things that peripheral issues, right? And that I think that was your main point, right?
Yeah, and you know, so you know, other, you know, the stuff we talked about, creation or the rapture or tithing versus not tithing at 10%, stuff like that,
right? I agree. Verse 18, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. This world is sinful. And Jesus was sinless. And that is why the world hated him. And the less we sin as Christians, the more we will be hated by the sinful people in this world. Nothing changes. It just carries over from Jesus to us. They hated Jesus because he was sinless, and he pointed out sinfulness, and he didn't pull any punches. And if you... the closer you are to Christ, the less you sin, the more uncomfortable the world's going to be around you. And especially if you point out sin in the world and you speak openly of it and you call it what it is, according to the Word of God, you're not going to be liked any more than Jesus was, which is one thing that makes me sick when I see so many compromising preachers. I had a guy talking to me today. He said, there are so many compromising preachers in this world who refuse to point out sin. And I said, well, thank you for saying that, because there's not a whole lot of people saying that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, generally, people do not enjoy being hated. Personally, I don't mind. it's fine with me. I mean, I can make an argument that I actually enjoy it, because I know when I'm hated for truth or Jesus or for standing up for God's word that I'm doing something right.
That's true.
You know, you hate Christians for having moral standards. That's fine. It's a badge of honor to us.
Right.
Because God makes the rules, and we proclaim them. It's that simple. And,
that's right.
And just, you know, like Jesus was hated by the world too. But I'll tell you, I'm not too worried about being judged as a hater or a bad person by a society equivalent or worse than the one who put Jesus to death. Like, the world is depraved, and the world has no ability to judge between right and wrong. How do I know that? Explain to me how the greatest person ever lived, Jesus, got brutally beaten and killed. Was it for never sinning? Is that why people didn't like him? That's why it was, one reason. Was it for helping people all the time? Look, all Jesus did was help people all the time. Praying for his enemies, even when he was hanging on the cross, is that what they were killing him for? Was it for being meek and humble and stuff like that? And that's who the world put to death.
Yeah.
Because the unsaved are depraved sinners who are on their way to burning in hell forever unless they repent and join the side of a loving God named Jesus Christ. But that's the reality of it, and the world doesn't like to hear that, but too bad. You'll wish you liked it on the day that Jesus says, depart from me, and he tosses you into hell, you're going to wish that you had liked it. But the point is this. They speak the truth through persecution, and don't be worried about being judged by a depraved world who can't tell their right hand from their left hand. Oh. Why are you worried about what nuts think of you?
Boy, that is so good. That is so well put, and I really like that, and it is so true. Puts everything in proper perspective.
Okay, because they don't know right from wrong.
No. Why are you worried about being called evil by people who are so evil? Like you said, they don't know their left hand from their right hand. You know, why would you worry about being judged as worthy of death or persecution by people like that?
It would be like me worrying that my dog might look at me kind of crooked for eating with a fork instead of just stuffing my face into it, because, you know, I'm worried about what my dog is going to think.
Yeah.
My dog has no sophistication. My dog has no authority over what to do or what not to do.
And your dog can't reason. Your dog can't think straight either, which is fitting also, you know, a fitting comparison. Yeah.
People out there need to get saved.
That's right.
And they because Jesus has a lot of love for you. He does, and he's willing to give you that, but you're not going to get it unless you receive it from him, and he's willing to give it to you. But if you don't, you're just going to continue to be in the dark.
Verse 19. Now, look at what Jesus says here. Let's read 18 along with it. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So if you are walking with God, in other words, you're not going to be popular with the world. You just will not be. And that is why it is a waste of time for modern evangelicals, and so many of them do this, try to be cool and try to cool people into the kingdom of God. It's just not going to happen. If the world thinks you're cool, I mean, if you have compromised to the point where the world thinks you are cool, and not just a foolish Christian trying to act cool, but if the world really thinks you're cool, then you have lowered your holiness standards and watered down the word of God to the point where you are completely useless to Christ. Because if you live for Jesus and you speak the pure word of God that is able to save a soul from hell, then the vast majority of the people in the world are not going to think that you are cool. In fact, nobody's going to think that you are cool, because there's nothing cool about a son of God having to become a man, having to go to the cross, brutally beaten beyond recognition, nailed to the cross in a bloody sacrifice to pay for man's sins because they're too depraved to pay for their own. There is nothing cool about that message. And I don't care how you package it, there's nothing cool about that message. And if that message doesn't come across loud and clear, no one's going to get saved, because that is the truth. And that message just isn't true, or it just isn't cool. And so just forget about trying to be cool in the eyes of the world. And that's what you want to be, but then don't say you're serving Christ, because you're not. And he's not going to use you. You're useless to him.
Yeah, Jesus, Peter, the Apostle Paul, all those guys, they never made any sort of, they certainly weren't cool in the eyes of the world, and they never made any attempt to be cool in the eyes of the world either. That's all that is a waste of time, and it's taking time away from proclaiming Jesus and how he is the only Savior. You're taking time away from what's really important by doing something that's never going to be successful.
Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you."
That's
why it in a nutshell.
Right. That's why I said before that I don't mind being hated by people, because then you know you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right.
And you know that you're doing something that God is being honored by. There's a lot of bad reasons for people to hate you, but anything to do with standing for God's word and his morals and what he says, there's nothing bad within that.
verse 19, right? Or am I in verse 20? Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. Jesus did not get away with being holy. And Jesus did not become popular by being holy. So Christians should not expect that either. Someone might say, well, I have a Christian nightclub, and it is packed with unsaved people every night. And there are those out there. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a Christian coffee house, and it is packed with unsaved people every night. Yeah, and you know what? Every single one of them are still unsaved because you didn't give them anything different than the world does, because if you did, they wouldn't be there. They might show up, but they'd never come back.
Let them, yeah, and what should happen is let them show up. First of all, don't try to draw them in that way, but first, let them show up, and if they do show up, give them the truth. Let 99 out of 100 not come back, but maybe you save one.
Yeah.
And or maybe I should say one gets saved through Jesus, but that's what should be happening. Looking at verse 20 again, Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Making Jesus your Lord and Savior does have consequences that may be perceived as negative. Jesus tells us that we'll be persecuted just like he was. And of course, that's not fun, but it is rewarding. That's kind of what I was talking about before. It is rewarding to be persecuted for Jesus if you're a Christian, because when you're persecuted for Jesus, you know that you're doing something right. You know that he is pleased with you when you're standing up for his word. And it's just very rewarding to be persecuted for him. And that's not negative at all. The only negative are the ones doing the persecuting, because they're the ones who are really in a sad state because they're without Jesus. But even those people who do the persecuting would be loved by Christ and would be accepted by him and used by him if they turn to him for forgiveness. You don't need to look any further as far as that's concerned than the Apostle Paul. I mean, even if you persecuted Christians in any way, from just laughing at them, being mean to them, whatever, to killing them, you could turn back from that. You can't undo what you've done, but you can have it all forgiven through God, and you can have a beautiful relationship with Jesus where you'll have more joy than you've ever had in anything before, and you can spend eternity with him if that's what you want. But you can always even turn away from that too.
And you know you can, because like you said, look at the Apostle Paul. He persecuted Christians. He murdered Christians, and then he became an on-fire Christian. Jesus forgave him. So, yeah, no one is too far gone as long as they repent. 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So when Christians are persecuted, it's not because of them. It is because of Christ in them. Because remember this, when you become a Christian, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's not a figure of speech. You receive him. You invite him to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. And he doesn't stay outside of your body. He comes into you. He literally comes to live inside of you by his Holy Spirit. So now you have, think of it as a duplex. Your body has become a duplex. Your spirit is in you. Your soul is in you. And so is the soul of Jesus. So you have your mind, your emotions, your will. You have Jesus's mind, emotions, and will inside of your body. It's a duplex. And so when you are persecuted as a Christian for righteousness' sake, it's because of Christ in you. It's because Jesus is living out his life in you, and you're yielding to him. And that's why you're speaking the truth. And that's why you're living holy. It's because you're yielding to his spirit that's prompting you as a Christian to do those things. And if we let Christ live through us, we're going to be persecuted. But the real target is Christ in us. You see, the world, as you were talking about earlier, the world targeted Jesus when he was here in the flesh, and they're still targeting him. Only in Christians. As Christians, live for Jesus. Now, we can squash the Spirit of Christ inside of us, and then we'll get along with the world just fine. But we're, like I said earlier, we're going to be completely useless to Christ.
Right. Yeah, what it really comes down to, and just to add just a little bit, or to say what you said in different words, what it really comes down to is that people hate Jesus.
Yeah.
They
the real Jesus.
Right.
The real Jesus.
It may seem like people don't like Christians, but that's not the case. A guy like President Obama may not stand up for Christians or support biblical values. And a lot of people think, wow, he doesn't like Christian. But whether he knows it or not, he's not anti-Christians, the people, the group. He's anti-Jesus.
The real Jesus.
The real Jesus, yeah.
Who says that homosexuality is wrong.
And I'll tell you, he'd be, and everyone in this case, him and everyone in this case would be a lot better off being anti-Christianity and some whatever they want to make that mean, or anti-religious, just against Christians. They'd be better off being that way than anti-Jesus, because he and they don't have to stand in front of me and you someday and be judged by us. He's going to stand in front of the one who he's against, and that's Jesus, and Jesus is the only person who judges. And Jesus is not a guy you want to be on the opposite side of after you die. Doesn't matter who you were in this life. Doesn't matter if you're the president. Doesn't matter if you're a king. Doesn't matter if you're a homeless person who's never done anything. Jesus is God, and he will have justice. And he and it don't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you had, how much power you had in this life. It's irrelevant. Does not matter, because once you die, you're standing face to face, you and Jesus. You can't give a speech to Jesus as a politician or anyone else that's going to get you off the hook, okay? You can't get through it anymore. If you relied on money in this world to get through on things, and this is something you talked about on Sunday morning a few weeks ago, if you rely on money to get you out of trouble and circumstances here, you don't have it with you when you die. When it's just you and Jesus. Not going to do you any good. You may be a good speaker and a good politician here, and you might be able to get some stuff done. But when you die, that tactic ain't going to work on Jesus. It's just not. And it's not. And it doesn't matter how much power you have right now. You're not going to have more power than him after you die, because no one ever has more power than Jesus, because he's God and he makes the rules.
Everybody enters into eternity bankrupt, with nothing to offer God except their faith in Jesus Christ that they lived with, and the fact that Jesus was their Lord and Savior.
And you know, when you die and you enter into eternity bankrupt, that's good, but that's bad for a lot of people. Everyone enters that way.
Right. Everybody does.
Bankrupt, nothing to give God. But you know what? You know what Christians can say to God? Say, God, well, you can let me in, God, because I'm a Christian, and the reason you can let me in is because I'm a part of your family.
That's right.
Let me in. And he said, well, yeah, you are a part of my family. So God, I know you don't have anything to offer me. Just like maybe there's somebody in your family right now who doesn't have anything to offer you. Maybe they can't do anything for you. You invite them over for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Why? You let them come in your house. Why? Because they're family. Maybe they can't offer you anything, but you invite them in, their family, and when you receive Jesus, you become adopted into God's family, so you're part of his.
Well put. Good place to stop. If you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. Listen, if the Word of God has blessed you through this ministry, then we would ask that you would prayerfully ask God if he would have you bless us back. Your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. We'd love to get the Word of God out to even more people, and we think it's that important, and we think it glorifies God. So you can be a part of this ministry. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. And don't forget to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website. That can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. Anything you need to study the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation is there at thebibleversebyverse.com. Thanks for spending this half hour with us. Until next time, so long, everyone.